Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Wardell Potts Jr., and you have tuned in to Solar Records Radio. Thank you so much. And now, with that being said, it is time to take an adventure in the land of music.
My collage, Romeo Where's Juliet. Solar Records was an amazing company that did wonderful things that really blessed so many people. And what, I mean, Dick Griffey did was create an atmosphere of hits and happiness a lot of us enjoyed just being there at the moment in the 70s and the 80s and the early 90s, got the opportunity to work with someone who had a vision, who had a dream that blessed all of us as we all pursued this dream. We went after it. And it was a dream that made all of our dreams come true. It coincided with exactly where we were and what we were feeling. So thank you, Mr. Dick Griffey, for your amazing effort to make Solar what you did. And thank you. We love you and appreciate you so much. Anyway, this is Wardell Potts Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and I'm just glad to be able to do this show here on Fridays. Every Friday we do this show celebrating the sound of Los Angeles Records because it was a wonderful time and we did have amazing opportunities. And so so we're going to go back down memory lane and we're going to share some of the experiences, some of the things that happened as we were in the studio recording all these songs for you guys. I was the drummer for Dynasty, but Dynasty was also a very big part of the Throwdown Brothers. There's two other people outside of Dynasty, which was Steve Shockley, the guitar player for Lakeside, producer and leader of Lakeside, and then Dana Myers. And so you got Steve Shockley, Dana Myers, Leon Silvers leading the way, Kevin Spencer, Ricky Smith, myself, Wardell Potts Jr., Richard Randolph, Pepper Ernest Reed, and last but not least, Mr. William Shelby. And it was a wonderful run. We were very fortunate to be the group of guys that Leon pulled into the studio constantly, every single day, all week long. We were in the studio creating the sound of Los Angeles on behalf of Mr. Dick Griffey. And so, but Leon was the chef in the kitchen, and he was running the kitchen, man. I'm going to tell you, that kitchen was burning up. And we had a wonderful time in there working and doing what we were gifted to do, what God had blessed us with. We all put our talents together and our hearts together, and we just really worked really hard day and night to make it all happen. And so what we're going to do today, I'm going to play you a combination of all that music that was done back then. And, you know, just a little bit of everybody's stuff. And from the Whispers, the Shalimar, Lakeside, Climax, Dynasty, Kerry Lucas, and Midnight Star, Collage, you will hear a combination of all the different artists, the Silvers. So kick back, relax, and thank you for tuning in and joining in with us today. And we also have a new website that's being built right now, so we would appreciate it. You just be patient with us as we're setting it up. And man, oh man, you talk about creativity. That's a lot of work, man. And so, but we're going at it full force, and we're so blessed because we have the opportunity to do this. And if you just type in solarrecordsradio.com, it'll take you there right now. But we're still building. We're getting a store together for you in case you want to buy any merchandise from the store to support Solar Records. Let's see here. What else is it that we're doing? Oh, and also we're going to have like our songs on there. You want to buy records, you know, any music from us, product, hats, shirts, cups, you know, just different things. And also my audio book that I put together. So all this stuff is coming up. And so thank you so much. It's a new year. New things happen in a new year. We have been blessed. And also I want to say happy Black History Month to all of the world. You know, all of our friends and people who just love each other despite race. We just love each other because we should. We definitely just should love each other, right? I mean, if you just think about it, okay? And I'm going to break this down a little bit for you. If you just think about it, look what's happening in Turkey and Syria. right? And it was just so much controversy and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to human life, everybody comes together. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, you know, because that's what it should always be about, so that we don't get into this terrible thing where I don't like you because of who you are and because of where you walk and the way you dress and who you like. It's like, come on. We are humans, and everybody that's down there under those things that people are pulling out, they're not asking them before they pull them out, who do you like, or, you know, what do you care about? What's your politics? They don't ask them that kind of stuff. They just pull them out because they're human beings and they're suffering and they're hurting and they need their help. And you just pull them out. And that's how we should treat each other all the time, all the time. Don't worry about all that other stuff. So anyway, I just want to once again say happy Black History Month to all my brothers and sisters around the world, and to everyone who benefits from, you know, just universal love, you know, loving on each other and being a blessing to each other. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for hanging out with us today here on Solar Records Radio. I think it's time for us to get going. So here's a song I wrote for my group, Dynasty. Let's get going. Thank you so much for tuning in. And when I come back, I'll start answering any questions that you may have. So if you have questions, you go ahead on and messenger it to me, or you can put it on the post on our Solar Records Radio group on Facebook post. You can put it on my page if you're my friend on Facebook, and I'll do my best to answer your questions. Okay, thanks again. This is Solar Records Radio. Much love to all of the listeners. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Shout out to all my friends around the world. Let's roll. We'll be right back.
Let's do this. Right. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this.
I can't go on. I need you. yes I do, baby.
He just sounds like a preacher or something. I'm like, what is going on here? This brother, his voice is just amazing. And I really, really love him and enjoy my relationship with him. Hold on one second here. Brother, what's going on with you? Mr. Don Cummings in the house. Well, Don?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's going on?
How are you?
I'm good. You're breaking up just a little bit, though.
Really? Okay. I'm not on a cell phone, so I don't know why I'm breaking up here.
I must be on my end. You know what? I was doing the show yesterday, and my phone, I guess my phone went dead. So I think I was in the middle of talking, and then all of a sudden, I got out of the system. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened? So that's when I had to jump and put in some music and stuff. And I was just like, oh, what's going on with my phone? So it might be my phone. So I apologize in advance for that.
Yeah, that's all good. Well, so how was your show last night?
Man, it's good. I posted it last night. I posted the music selection, man, and I think it was a pretty fine show, if I do say so myself. I was hoping to get you on, but during the circumstances, and you know, I'd mentioned that you was entertaining family and friends of family and things like that. So it was a good show.
Okay. All right. Good. 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 Yes, I was entertaining Freeway. Trying to get back from Houston as we were out yesterday we did our show out in Houston, Texas yesterday, and man, the traffic trying to come back was just amazing and just out of control. So I apologize for not being able to get back for the show. But anyway, I want to just start to share some of these questions that I'm getting from the listeners. And this is one of them. It says, who came up with the Throwdown Brothers, and what was the long-term plan for the brothers? So this is the case here. The concept of the Throwdown Brothers, I believe, and this is just my own feelings, because no one's ever asked us that collectively, and we sat there and listened to each other say that answer that question. So my feelings about is this. Concept was not per se a concept. It was just we were the same guys in the studio all the time recording for Leon and Solar in the beginning of Solar. And so we're in there recording the same guys over and over and over. And so what happened was Steve Shockley from Lakeside, who's one of the guitar player and part. I am breaking up, huh? Wow. Okay, I'm going to switch microphones here. I'm sorry, I did not know that. Don, am I breaking up to you too? Man, maybe no one can hear me. Let me see. Am I breaking up to you as well?
I can hear you.
I'm gonna switch microphones. Hold on.
Okay.
Is that any better now? Okay, I tell you what. Don, are you in the system?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you play another Solar selection, and then when we come back, I'll work on getting this situated. Okay.
Okay. Sure, man. Let's see if I can find something in my repertoire here. Oh, yeah. By the way, you are listening to Solar Records Radio. Of course, we're celebrating the legacy. Of course, it is Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Check us out. And let's go ahead and start this off. One of my favorites from for the Cool in You album. This is none other than Babyface. This is Never Keeping Secrets. Guys, keep it locked right here at Solar Records Radio. I'm in one thing, my cloud. course, everyone knows that's Babyface from the Summer of 93 from the For the Cooling You album. That is Never Keeping Secrets. I love that album. I love that song. This is beautiful. It's just Babyface. I mean, Babyface in the early 90s, you know, everyone around that time, that's when everyone was moving to Atlanta, and the Face had made their trek from Los Angeles to Atlanta. And it was just all things Atlanta, you know, even hip-hop. Social Death was doing that thing in Atlanta. That's where you had the Crisscross and the Brad, and, you know, she's from Chicago. You know, everybody went to Atlanta. Atlanta was like this big mecca. And, you know, we're not even going to talk about Freak Nick. But other than that, man, I love that album. I love that song. I know I'm going off tangent, but I had to add that one from Babyface, man. What you think? That was some of his greatest, like, 90s hits, man.
Oh, yeah. And, and also hats off to him as he's going to sing at the Super Bowl this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. So, go ahead, Babyface. Keep on doing your thing. We're very proud of you. And, he was absolutely a dream come true. For so many, because of his gift, you know, and Dick Griffey peeped him out real quick when, you know, because he was with the deal. So,
okay, man, that would be a great concert, you know, the deal coming back. I mean, all the members of the deal doing their thing. You know, but we're on the outside looking in. We don't know the internal situation there, but again, as a fan, that would be nice to see the deal, like all of them kind of come back. You know, I know they did this with like BET for a few years back, but like to do a concert, to do like a 10 city tour, you know, something like that.
Yeah. I talked
a little bit about like New Edition yesterday because I was saying that, can you name another group that can branch off and do their solo projects and blow up the way they did and then come back, you know, put their egos aside? Well, I mean, I'm not going to say put their egos aside. Sometimes at the end of the day, though, the reality of it is no matter what those brothers went through, they consider themselves brothers, and now they're back this year doing their thing. And who knows, they might argue again and come back. But again, it's just New Edition is like, to me, that only group that can argue, fuss and fight, go do solo careers, blow up in the solo career, and then come back to the home base that is New Edition and still bring in the fans. And New Edition, to me, New Edition, that's why New Edition is so strong when it comes to their tours. You know, every New Edition tour has always been, it's been successful. Especially not now, you know, even the one where they got the $1.80, each of them got a $1.87 when they were kids. I mean, I know you heard the story, but they did a European tour, and after they got out the bus, dropped off their bus, and the bus dropped them off in Orchard Park in Boston, and they get a check. They get their check for $1.87. I mean, it's these stories, man. I don't mean this in a cynical way. I love to hear these stories because, to me, that proves that the resilience of these artists, man. That proves the strength of these artists to be there 40-plus years later and do what they do. Actually, this will be 40 years since Candy Girl. So even going back then, being a kid, 9 years old, growing up listening to New Edition when Candy Girl came out, you know, here I am about to be 49 this year, and it's just, it still takes me back to a certain time. Even now, you know the odds and ends. You know about, again, you know about the $1.87. You know about the bad production deals that they got. You know, they didn't really start making money till the Heartbreak album. But again, go ahead.
There's a lot of very bad production deals that went on, and it's really sad. I mean, look, the same thing happened with TLC. They had a terrible production deal, and that was under Babyface's label, you know. And so they were very, very upset about, you know, how they were treated. Not to talk about anybody, but, you know, the person that they were signed to was Pebbles. And
I'm asking this just to ask, and I'm not trying to cause any controversy, but was that more of Pebbles than it was a Babyface? I mean,
it was her production company. So she was signed Pepsi. So when you have a production company, the production company is the one that signs to the record company. So there's the record company, then the production company signs to the record company, and then the production signs the artist to them. So the artist is not going to the record company saying, "Hey, where's our royalties?" Their funds have been redirected to the production company. So the artist has to get their money from the production company. If the production company is doing right, then they will give them the right, you know, then what they're supposed to get. But a lot of times, having that kind of money for, you know, people that are new at this game is very hard, and then they, you know, they do what they do, and a lot of people got hurt because of that. You know, the production companies kind of got in the way, and sometimes record companies would say, "You know what, we can't do this. You guys have to go. We can't. We have to have the artist signed directly to us, or we can't, you know, do this at all anymore." And then what happened is the record company will buy out the production company, and then the artist will sign directly to the record company so that they're not being abused anymore. So that happened so much, and it's so bad that happened. But that happened even within the situations that I've been in. That's been happening. So it's sad that the, you know, the production companies are the people that run them are not being responsible with the money, you know, and taking care of the artists is really sad. But there's this thing that these guys and women have. They feel like, well, I'm the one that made this happen for you, so I should get, you know, whatever I want out of this. It's, you know, and that's not fair. The only reason why you were able to make that happen is because you found the talent that was really good, and you really like the in-between person, you know, and so you should get your percentage, of course, because you made the contact. But don't be greedy and try to take, you know, most of it and give them the finder's fee. And that's what happened to a lot of artists, and it's really sad because everybody was not able to bounce back like the group you were just talking about. Everybody wasn't able to bounce back like that. A lot of guys was broken. A lot of groups got broken. That was their only opportunity. I mean, they weren't able to get another hit to make that kind of money. You know, they weren't able to get another opportunity. And so it's just really sad for a lot of people that have struggled so hard. So, yeah.
You know, I remember, I always kind of go by, and we mention her because we love her, and she's a friend and a dear friend of ours and a friend of the show, of course. Shout out to JoJo. I remember when I interviewed her on my radio show a few years ago, she said something that resonated, and I never really thought about it that in that sense, because it was about, you know, when you think about music business was Little M, Big B. And I never really, like, it never dawned on me how the business was capitalized, you know, really more than the music. So, you know, and it's about middlemen scratching each other's backs. And next thing you know, the people who are the talent themselves are making little to nothing, you know. And I think that's changing. I will say this, I think we talked about it a long time ago, and we said that, you know, there was a part when you talk about major labels. We were talking about major labels, and I remember you saying something to the and I'm probably butchering it, so help me out. But I remember you saying something to the effect the good part of having being on these record deals, not the production deals, but these actual signing on the record deals and these major labels, is the fact that the artists are polished and groomed. You know, you had all these A&Rs, and it was about the polishing of these artists. And you don't really see that today, you know. And then you don't see the discipline to where someone has the articulation to negotiate their contract, to negotiate the terms of, you know, their next album, or having someone to speak for them and things like that. Yeah, you can always get an attorney, but it would be nice to kind of, let them do their job, but know, at least kind of understand the knowledge and have that knowledge, instead of just saying, hey, I'm giving it all to you, you know, to because you're my representative. But again, you know, that was one of the, when you talk about the pros and cons of the major labels, that was one of the pros, because, you know, artist development was very important.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's a crazy world out there, and we have to understand that, because what happened is that as an artist, especially a young artist, we're so hungry, we're so desperate, and we're so trusting, you know, and we don't realize that the world is dark. You know, we're excited that somebody is excited about us. And so a lot of times we go into contractual deals very naive. We don't have attorneys. We just trust that person in front of us seems like such a nice person.
And but the reason why they,
exactly. And the reason they seem like such a nice person is because they're telling you that you are really good, and they're making you feel good about yourself. And you just trust them, and they're saying, "Hey, I can help you. Let me show you how to do this, then that." And before you know it, you've gotten tied up in all kind of stuff. Also, a lot of people are afraid to go get representation to protect themselves from that person that's right in front of them telling them that, because they don't want to lose that person. So instead of going and getting an attorney, you know, or somebody that, you know, can be a middle person and make this thing good for everybody, they just say never mind, because they think the person's going to be mad at them because you're showing that you don't trust them. And if you show you don't trust them, then they could easily leave and go get somebody else. And so that's not necessarily the case, but that's exactly what happens. Because there's talent out there, but there's something about you that's very special. That's why they're trying to do a deal with you. There's something about you that's unique and special, but we're so insecure. We don't realize that we have a gift. We just think that we got lucky that somebody liked what we did. And sort of you are, but at the same time, you got to be honest. And you got to make sure the other person is honest. And the only way you could do that is to make sure that there's a middle, somebody in between. I have a question for you, Don, and myself. It says, questions for you both. What do you think when R&B sounds too pop, or is that just crossover? I know you don't really feel that. So what do you think about that, Don?
No, well, I'm gonna piggyback off you and bring it back to you, because of course you were there, you were at ground zero. So what does it mean to you?
You know, you're not supposed to ask a question on a question, but anyway, being a school teacher, though. Know, but anyway, all right. So
I mean, I can go there. I mean, I can go okay. there, but I would
just want to respect my opinion first. All right, so listen, I'll say it. So for me, I just love good music, right? And so R&B music is absolutely amazing. And then some pop music, to me, it's absolutely amazing, just like some R&B music is to me amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't discriminate. And so, but when they when you bring them together and create, you know, R&B with a pop twist on it, it helps to cross it over so that now you're going from one group of people to a whole nother group of people, which increases your sales, which increases your royalties. So, you know, and it's really not nice of people to say, don't make it about money, when it is about money, because this is what's taking care of my family and me. This is what's allowing me to do this. So a lot of times when we first start off, we start off just working really hard and doing whatever we could do. And if that comes out and that's popular, then, you know, they expect for us to keep doing the same thing. And we will to a degree because it's our nature, but you also are growing and you're also learning. Other people coming at you and say, hey, we need something like this. Hey, can you give us something like this for this movie? Can you give us something like that? So they redirect the writers. You know, so people are looking at the writer like, why did you write that? You were an R&B writer. Why did you write that pop song? Well, because somebody paid me to write that pop song. And so, but see, the truth of the matter is that the listeners don't know that. So they get confused. So they, you know, but the whole, the thing about, I like both of them. I like all music, actually, except for heavy metal. I can't understand that. But I...
You went there. Just, look,
I did.
I get it.
I mean, just I don't like I don't like anything that's screaming, and I don't know what you're saying because you could be kicked out of the hell. Yeah, you could.
No,
be,
no, no. I'm joking.
Same thing with certain rap stuff. I don't know what they're saying, and I'll back it up to try to figure it out. But I can't get into stuff when I don't know what they're saying. It's just, to me, the lyrics are the most important part of a song that has lyrics in it. If you got a song with lyrics in it, then make it so that I can hear it and understand it. Now, that's also another difference. Pop melodies are easy sing-along melodies. Easy sing-along melodies. R&B melodies are complicated. They are. It sounds like they're in church. And they're going at it, and they're going at it. So it's like I like the mixture of everything. It's almost like a meal. I want a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and it makes a great meal. That's it.
I think it's all, at the end of the day, it's all subjective. You know, I think from historical, and I try to bring historical context to it when you talk about going pop, a lot of people feel that when especially soul artists go pop, it's trying to reach a demographic that has really no vested interest in what a lot of the soul music is about. And it's sometimes that may be the case, but that's farther from the truth, in my opinion. I think when you talk about, 'cause everyone falls in love. Doesn't matter what color you are, what religion, whatever. I think when you have a universal song that talks about love and there are gospel roots, that it's rooted from gospel, when you hear it, you hear the harmonies and you hear the, you know, all of these elements that come, that derives from that gospel sound, you know, and it basically goes into that soul music. I think the beauty of it is, you know, a lot of radio stations, even back then, they called it race records because they didn't want their, a lot of white kids, the white parents didn't want their kids listening to it. They called it jungle music. They called it race music. They called it all of these derogatory things. But the fact is that we were universal when it came to love, when it came to having feelings about a lost love and things like that. Whether we interpreted through blues, whether it was Muddy Waters or Howlin' Wolf or even going to the Motown era. And I think Berry Gordy was kind of ingenious to do that because he understood how the impact of crossover could be. Now, you could have that argument of the protest music in the late 60s, like the Ball of Confusion or the Marvin Gaye, What's Going On album or whatever, or Temptations, the Psychedelic Shack, and all of these things that were very deep meaning, or even Stevie Wonder's early 70s, his Visions album was very, very political. So a lot of these albums, you know, a lot of people felt that to go to take out the elements of bass, take out some elements of funk. You don't want to funk the people too much. That's how a lot of folks felt. You don't want to funk the people too much. So give it a more a pop sound. Now, whatever that sound is, you know, maybe give it more strings, or, you know, give it to some, to where people may like it that are in middle America or whatever. But a lot of that was derived from, you know, trying to just want to cross over and at least get more radio play. And then you had payola. That's another thing going. But again, I don't want to get off too off tangent, but I think the fact that pop to cross over, it didn't mean necessarily to try to appease a base that had no vested interest in these communities. I'm just saying, I felt that they just wanted the chance to be on a top 40 radio, giving spins on top 40. And a lot of that didn't happen the way it did. It just happened to cross over. I mean, and then the 80s kind of just blew it up with, you know, with the Michael Jacksons and the Prince, you know, because they didn't want to be felt in that whole R&B category, even though that the Thriller album was a straight R&B. Now, granted, you can have that argument of a couple of pop songs, but again, Michael Jackson, you know, because of the outlets of the MTVs and whatnot, I think it finally, I guess I use the term too loosely, but it broke that glass ceiling, you know, when it came to a lot of, especially quote-unquote R&B artists, to get into that mainstream. And I think MTV was kind of that outlet, as apprehensive as they was in the beginning. But and that's just my take on it, man. I hope I was able to answer the question a little bit.
yeah, well, you did great. That was a well response, a great response, and I love what you said there. MTV was another place where you could reach all those pop listeners and followers, and so to be able to get on to MTV, it was very important for the artists and, you know, the writers, mm-hmm. and the record companies. You know, record companies wanted their artists on there too, because you're reaching out to a bigger crowd, and so
it didn't necessarily mean a sound. It didn't necessarily mean a sound. It just meant using a popular platform.
Right,
you know, you
right.
can. You know, it wasn't even about a pop sound. Now, I you know, I hear Leon Silvers, and, you know, when you think about, like, the Silvers and like, the Boogie Fever and the Hotline, and, you know, having, you know, people like the Freddie Perrins that you know, write and do the production and songwriting. But when you really think about it, when you talk, because we had, you know, the Silvers on, you know, about a year ago, or what, a couple of years ago, and I told them myself, I said, look, with the exception of the Boogie Fevers and all of that, yeah, you understood. It was just something about understanding how, you know, how those songs are pop songs. But when you really think about it, the Silvers had some great soul music, you know, going all the way back to Fool's Paradise and you know. So all of those albums that they've done up to the Boogie Fever, and even when you go to the New Horizons album, in my opinion, were great soul albums. I guess they, you know, to cross over and get the American Bandstand love and all of that, they had to do the Boogie Fevers and the Hotlines and the Cotton Candy, you know. But mm-hmm. that was a little, but it was soulful in its own right, but you understood the pop sound of it. I can't really give you just the technicality of how they changed it to a pop sound. It was just something, as a kid, you're like, you know, well, I'm not a kid, I was two when it, but when I got older and listened to the music, it was like, okay, that's pop. I can't explain it, but I understood it. So.
Okay. Excellent. All right, so I want to talk about, we have to acknowledge Burt Bacharach died.
Yes, and I was able to, the end of the show, I played Sybil's version of Walk On By from 1989 to commemorate, to kind of celebrate his life and legacy, because Burt Bacharach has been a major composer on a lot of great music, especially in the 60s, so mm-hmm. 60s and 70s. So yes. I closed the show out on Walk On By. There are so many versions of Walk On By. I think Dionne Warwick and Isaac Hayes and, you know.
Yes.
I had Sybil's.
Yes. Yes. And so, I mean, his writing career was absolutely amazing. And I'm just so grateful that people celebrated him the way that they did, and unfortunately, it happened after the Grammys, so they will celebrate him in the Grammys. Man, what an amazing songwriter! What an amazing accomplishment! He lived to 93, 94 years old. He did well, so much for him, and I'm so grateful for him because he wrote some of those Speaking of Pop songs. He took R&B artists like Dionne Warwick and had her sound pop. Right? She's an R&B
piano player.
I mean, she's an R&B artist, R&B singer. He's a pop songwriter. And they got together and wrote and did some of the biggest hits ever. Because those pop people love that R&B feel. So when they hear this stuff, it's like, whoa, they were converted into like an R&B, just like we get converted into love and pop. Because when they come together, it's really a beautiful blend. And, you know, and so sometimes I go overboard because I can't help it. It's like candy. And it gets, sometimes my friends go, what the hell, that's a little too sweet. And I go,
silly.
I can't help it. It's something about that chord progression, you know, that really got me going. Like Greg said to me a couple of times, are you serious? You really like that song? you like the song? Did he? And I said, yeah. He's like, hold on, wait. Do you like the song or do you like the artist? He's just, you know, trying to break it down, trying to figure out, like, what the heck is it about that song? Why do you like that song? And so, but there's some songs that I do play that are very pop. Now, I got to tell you, going back to Motown, Leon Silver's steady Motown. Leon Silver's steady Motown because of that pop crossover, because of the R&B pop crossover music. And a lot of it had to do with the lyrical content, having a story, saying something, but also adding those beautiful strings and bells like you were saying. And Philly International did the same exact thing. Because Philly, the guys from Philly, they wrote hits for Motown. And then after they wrote so many hits for Motown, then they decided to start their own record company in Philly. And they did their thing. And you hear all their stuff. I mean, there's numbers, strings. But it's just orchestras all over their records, right? And so then this next thing happened with Solar. And Solar did that same thing. Leon was writing these lyrics and melodies. They were simple, and they were crossing over, and the world was loving this stuff, not just, you know, a little crowd of people, but the whole world ended up loving this stuff, and that's what made these records go gold and platinum, double platinum, and, you know, triple platinum, and look at Michael Jackson. I mean, they just got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, so, you know, thanks to those creators that took the risk, that went ahead, like Barry Gordy and them, listen, we need to cross this over. We need to make sure we get everybody liking it. And I remember looking at some of those videos and looking at some of the videos, the Motown videos, and the white people were sitting in the audience. They loved the song, but they didn't know the artists were black, and they didn't know how to respond. And you can see it. You can see it in their face, like. But we were told not to like black people, but the music is bouncing, making me want to bounce. So they want to dance, but they were mentally confined, and you could see that they were stagnated. And I felt so bad for them because they couldn't enjoy what was natural, what they should have been able to enjoy because of what was put in their brain, right? Because of what was on TV, what was put in their brain, all that crazy stuff. But anyway, we need to get back to the sound of Los Angeles Records. We're not trying to get into Don Fleming's kind of conversation because I know he loves it when we talk about that kind of stuff. So I would play another song, Don. And then we come back, okay? This is your boys right here, Midnight Star on Solar Records Radio. We love you guys. Thank you for we
Energize.
Come on,
As a matter of fact, I was thinking I need to call Leon and ask him for do you have any more a cappella songs that were out, because I want to play more of that, because that family harmony is nothing like it. It's so tight. It's so amazing. Oh my goodness gracious! I just love the Silvers, and that's a pop song, right? R&B artist performing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what else? Oh, and so you just heard before that was The Whispers, a song I wrote for them called Sweet Sensation. I know you guys haven't heard that one. I know y'all haven't heard that one. That's an album cut that was never the single, but it was on their album, and that was fun working with them on that album. I posted it, so if you want to follow, you know, see what else is on there, just, you know, go click on the link. It'll take you there. Also, and I started out the block with Midnight Star, Electricity. And Electricity, come on, get the tea out there, brother. You know, in the studio, when we're producing vocals in the studio, people are just so used to saying and singing how they feel and just singing, but they forgot about the enunciation part. You know, when you're singing, you have to really pronounce the words completely, you know. And so there's a lot of times when you're in the studio and we, you know, work with Shalimar or Dynasty or The Whispers or whoever, and you have to say, you got to put the T on the end of that word. You got to put the that sound, whatever that sound is, you got to complete it, because people won't know what you're talking about. Like, so lightly, sometimes people will just say lightly, and you don't hear the rest. You got lightly. You got to enunciate. You got to push it out. You know, lovely. You know, you got to push it out. And so I was basically just producing myself when I had to correct myself. Like, come on, man, enunciate. Anyway, so Don, great conversation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for a great conversation earlier. That was good. That was really good.
It,
yeah, great job. Let me see if there's any more questions before we move on here. Okay.
let me add this. We talk about, you know, we had talked about artists reuniting and whatnot, and I want to ask you, and this is a fan, as a fan, I know you had Reggie Calloway on the show a little while back, and it was Vincent was on also, wasn't he? The Calloway brothers?
No. No, I didn't have Vincent on.
It was just Reggie. What would the fans think? I mean, what's up with a Midnight Star reunion, man? With all of them together?
Well, they you know, when we had the thing, the Solar thing at City Hall in Los Angeles a few years back, they were sitting there at the table. You know, Reggie is trying to get it, you know. You know, I saw them trying to figure it out. So, you know, but it's sometimes things can get complicated with so many different opinions. And so, you know,
yeah.
So you just got to, you know, just pray and hope that they can work it out and figure it out. You know, everybody has their own reasons for why they want it, and they have their own reasons why they don't want it. And you have to respect
yeah.
their reasons, you know, as a group, you know. So we'll see what happens and stuff in that. But I know that Reggie and Vincent, they wanted to do it, at least Reggie, because Reggie is who I talk to most of the time. And, you know, he says, well, you know, we'll see what God wants. I'm ready to do it, you know. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
it would be nice.
It would
be nice to have a solar reunion as well. Be nice
it
to have
really
a solar tour. Can we get a reunion tour? Come on, guys. Stop playing around. Let's do the thing. Let's do this thing. Hold on 1 second.
You know what, though?
Oh, by the way.
You know what? And I know Linda's. I know Linda's take on it, but I would like to see it. And maybe this is me. You know, I don't want to minimize it or anything like that. But this is just me as a fan speaking. I would like to see Dynasty as an unsung episode. You know? I would like those kids to go to YouTube and just start going down that rabbit hole of Dynasty music. You know, I mean, everyone knows about Adventures in the Land of Music, you know, because of hip hop and whatnot. But just all of the in-depth stuff that you've done, and then the fact that, you know, you and of course the late Brother Shelby. And of course, Kevin, you know, all of y'all writing skills and your production skills and, you know, and branching off to do the music that you've done. I think that would be a great profile, you know, and talking about that. And I think it would be very educational for the listeners, especially fans of Unsung, man. I really do.
Well, that
and
would be
you, and
awesome.
And then you talk about me, and then they'll interview you, and then you mention me.
There you go. Got to keep it in the family. Can't mess up like that. Got to make sure. Tell them what's up with Mr. Fleming. But you know, you always
got
to be there anyway. Yeah, we're supposed to be there anyway. Yeah, I think it would be interesting. I mean, we have a lot to say because we experienced quite a bit. This whole experience with Solar, and some people say don't live in the past, but so many people want to know about the past. So you have to, like, kind of, like, do both. I got to live in the past and live in the future. But this is the best thing about, you know, when I go into the past, like, when I get certain questions by the listeners, by Greg and some and yourself, you guys are asking me a question. I mean, for me, revisiting those times is so amazing. It's so wonderful. It's so, because I don't remember, I don't know what's in my brain. right? And so when you ask those questions, I have to go back and think and pull that stuff out. And it's just so nice to visit it, to revisit that time and revisit those moments. And, you know, it just feels good. So if anybody wanted to, if Unsung or whoever wants to do a thing on Dynasty, I would love to participate in that as well. Because I think that it's important to get the history out there. And it'd be nice to get it from the people that were actually there. So let's do it anytime, anywhere. Okay, so this was a question.
It'd be great.
Okay, go ahead, Don.
It'd be great.
Motown came close to making political statements with albums such as What's Going On. Was that ever an option for Solar? Was it talked about? Please answer. So, as far as I know, no, I don't think it was ever anything because we were in 79. Motown was, they started in the 50s and, you know, late 50s and 60s and all that stuff. So they were right there in the middle of all of the, yeah. So they started in all that craziness and stuff. And so they were almost.
Yeah, civil rights. That's the heart of the civil rights movement.
Yeah, right. So it was just, but for us, we were kind of like celebrating the what they had fought for, what they were singing about, what they were speaking about, what people had died for. We were celebrating it in our music. So it was more of a happy, go lucky, love songs, everything. Let's just have a great time. Let's celebrate our culture. Let's celebrate each other, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, but, yeah, so. So it's so that's what Solar is. Right now, it seems like we're trying to go backwards in the world, and so we have to redirect where these people, what's happening right now with, you know, how they're trying to take us backwards to where we came from. And I just think that music has a way of helping, and so I'm hoping that there'll be some great songs about where we are today. Again, I'm not hearing it. Don, do you know any songs that are political now?
What now?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure John Legend is singing something about a protest right now and Common and artists like that. But I haven't really just been into just the music. I think, you know, we talked about touched on Robert Glasper yesterday, winning a Grammy for Best R&B Album. Kudos to him. And I play something. I usually play a lot of his music on indie jazz, indie blues and all that jazz. And, he has a lot of great political messages. Tank and the Bangers, remember the song? I would, some new featured music that I played on the indie show Black Folks, the one that you love. So that would be necessary. Good, a lot of great music out there right now that kind of I'm not going to say political, but definitely an affirmation of our identity in this country. I think even in the 80s, it was okay to be celebratory and things like that, but I do remember. You know, Cameo had to do Skin I'm In. You know, that was one of those protest songs that really resonated, even in the 80s, you know, going through, you know, a lot of people felt that, you know, the Reaganomics and, you know, the Ronald Reagan years and how hip-hop basically became kind of that political voice instead of just R&B. I think there was a lot of hip-hop at the time in the 80s that kind of touched on that, because it was just a few years from the Bronx being burnt, you know, a lot of all those buildings that were burning in Bronx and the poverty and the building of the highway that separated North and South Bronx. So there was a lot of things going on a few years removed from that, with a lot of those kids from those hip hop generation spoke on it. Now, again, from an R&B standpoint, it was few and far in between. I'll probably have to look and do a little bit more research, but I do remember a cameo, Skin I'm In, and there's a couple of other songs that were very political and funky at the same time in the 80s. But I think the mantle kind of went to rap music and hip-hop at that time, because they were, you know, especially with Public Enemy. So I think even at that time, you know, the mantle, that voice was kind of carried into that. And the irony of it is a lot of people just didn't respect rap as an art form at that time. You know, you can go back to you can go all the way back to the Last Poets. Heck, you can go way before that to bebop. You know, when you hear, you know, people like Louis Jordan and then fast forward to people like Pig Meat Markham. So, I mean, again, the historical, context of great protest songs have always had this poetic prose to it. Now, whether you did it in a song, and R&B or soul, or again, in the 80s where it was pretty much heard throughout hip-hop in the 80s. So it's still around. Just to answer your question in simpler terms, yeah.
Okay.
It's still around.
It's still around, baby.
Yeah. We got about 24 minutes left of the show again. Thank you so much for tuning in and hear me rant. I can do this all day, but I know you want to get into some music because, again, it is Friday. We're celebrating the legacy of the Sounds of Los Angeles Records, man. And what you going to do now? What you going to play, Wardell?
Okay. Well, just one last quick question before we...
Another question.
Well, this is good for you because Don Fleming, if you guys don't know, he was a history teacher. So if you hear a little, you know...
Oh my God.
Bits of intellect coming from this brother. That's because he's steady. So, so this question, Don, is that, do you think that music has been the most powerful tool for African Americans?
It's one of the tools. I think it's been one of the tools. I think it kind of inspired. When you talk about political power in this country, you know, the power of the vote, people, you know, Malcolm X talked about the ballot of the bullet. I think music was kind of a conduit to kind of open up that space because even at that time, even in, you know, the times of Jim Crow, you know, we talked about the jungle music and the race music earlier. A lot of white kids got into it. And those white kids got older, and sometimes, you know, a certain sense of a sensibility was there, especially in the hippie movement and things like that in the late 60s, and, you know, the anti-Vietnam War sentiments and things like that. I think those outlets were used to, you know, use them, especially a lot of those white voices, it's kind of that mainstream to say, hey, these brothers and sisters got something to say, and maybe that music kind of was that drink of water that you know, something that you can kind of pour into the soul, not poison. It's not about poisoning. It's kind of like something that kind of. Music was kind of like that soothing conduit to get people to think, and again, it was one of those outlets because again, it was kind of that conduit to, you know, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. It was one of those things that kind of gave you that sense to run for political office at the time. You know, black people were running for mayor and you know. Being on, you know, council members, so the political power that we use, yes, we can't shy away from the music that kind of gave you that symbol of our responsibility and a symbol of power and self-esteem.
Yeah, Well said, brother. Well said. Man, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Man, you,
so yes,
you
to answer your question, yes.
Yeah. it's one of the, because I believe that the most powerful tool were the people. You know, when you look at all the brothers out there and sisters out there giving their life and fighting for, protesting for, you know, the right to be treated as a human being, and they lost their life behind it. I think they were the most powerful tool, period. And I think music was came and supported what they were doing and you know, what we were doing as a people. And it's just, you know,
one of the first protest songs was Strange Fruit by Billie Holiday. Billie Holiday got death threats for that song. People, they did not want her to sing that song. You know, Billie had to hide, you know, she had to hide out. And again, that was part, I'm not even going to lie that probably contributed to her depression. You know,
yeah,
the death threats.
And, disgusting. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but then also you got to remember that music was an amazing tool to help people get out of slavery. When they, I mean, because they were singing and they were communicating through
talking
the music.
In code.
Yeah, talking in code through the music, and so it was. I mean, it's probably. I think they're right together. The music and the people are the number one tool for, you know, helping,
the great conduit.
Yeah, absolutely. Because mm-hmm. you know, that's why when you. Our music is called soul music because we're singing from our soul for our soul. We're trying to save our souls because people are trying to destroy us. And we're trying to destroy us. I don't know what they're doing right now. It seems like they're kind of getting crazy again. But people were trying to destroy us as a people. And that's just hard to believe. It's like, I can't believe I'm even saying that. Well, why would you want to do that? Why would, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, like I said, those kids, when they were listening to the Motown on those videos, if you go back to any of those old songs, you look at the videos, they're just in shock because they don't know how to feel because it goes against the core of the human being. That is not how you're supposed to be. Somebody taught you to hate. That's not what mm-hmm. you are naturally. If you watch babies from different cultures, you know, in a room together, they don't know what that is. They're just having fun. They're just loving on each other because there's a natural to love each other. You're taught to hate. And so, anyway, we're not getting into that. Jeez.
You're the man.
Man.
You are the man. You are the man.
No, there are plenty of other men that have come and gone trying to bless us through all this craziness. But I'm really proud of James Brown for putting the song out, I'm Black and I'm Proud. I really, you know, I like that, you know, people who were standing up because, you said, the death threats to our sister, I mean, you know, she could have lost her life, you know. So, But anyway, let's get going back to the music. We only got about 17 minutes. So don't forget tomorrow. Solo wants to dance, you know, just a cardio. We're just having a good time. Welcome,
hey,
please, you know, hang out with us. We're gonna
work
out.
Get away. Can I say something real quick? Yeah. Let's get away from
the
narrative. When you mention these things, it's about a victim mentality. Stop that. This is history, and for us we have to commemorate. We have to understand our past. So we can move forward in the future. This isn't about dwelling on it. It's about giving historical perspective. This is about our victory. This is about our resilience. This is about all people's resilience. It doesn't matter what color you are, because if you understand this, if you are a white person and you get it, and you empathize with the sensibilities of marginalized people and the music and all of these art forms that derive from it, then we can be into a better. We'll be in a better situation. But now you're trying to stifle that. You're trying to not teach. You're trying to ban you know, African-American studies and all of these things that are going on right now. And this is history. This isn't a victim. This is a victory. And for us to, we have to understand it. We have to get all people to understand it so we can move forward. And that, hey, let's get to the deal, man. I'm done.
All right, guys. We love y'all. Thank you for tuning in today, Soul Records Radio. We appreciate you. Happy Valentine's weekend. You know, Valentine's next Tuesday, but, you know, some people are so busy. They're traveling. They're doing their thing. So if you're spending time with your sweetheart, enjoy it this weekend. God bless you, and thanks for being the best part of Soul Records Radio. We appreciate you, and we love you. Later, everybody. See you, Greg. See you, everybody. Peace out.
Wearing blue jeans. You rub your left leg low. Let your body go.
Your body.
I just have to say what a beautiful song by Shalimar. And once again, I just want to wish you guys a wonderful and blessed holiday with your loved ones. Valentine's Day. Don't forget it's Black History Month as well. And you know, do your thing. Thank you so much for tuning in today and helping us to just enjoy one another. My heart is feeling something, and so I'm not sure what's going on, but I just want you guys to know that we love you. And so if you're alone and you feel any kind of sadness or whatever, you are loved, and we appreciate you, and we're so grateful for who you are. You know, don't feel that, you know, that you don't hurt alone. Call a friend. Call someone if you don't have anybody. You know, feel free to send us messages and we'll talk to you. I'll call you. Maybe call you. We love to love each other. We love being friends and good blessing people. So if you need someone to talk to and you're hurting, you know, please, you know, contact us through Sophia. Let's chop it up, right? Let's chop it up and because everything's going to be okay. All right. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in to Solar Records Radio. It's always a thrill being here with you guys. Always.